Luke 5. Verse 17. And we started talking about this yesterday. But anyway, it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, as I said, they were coming out. All these guys were coming, probably more than likely by order of the Sanhedrin, to find out who this guy was and report back to the Sanhedrin. And so it says they came from every town. The town is not like what we would think of. This word is kome, and it means the name of the city nearest which the small villages lie. It's like if they were coming to Dallas, from Dallas, it doesn't mean that they came, it doesn't mean like they came from Garland and Mesquite and all the suburbs. They came from Dallas. So it wasn't that big of many people there. If they came from every town, there would be a jillion of them. So you understand, it just came from the big city. And these the Pharisees, we've studied many times, the doctors of the law are, it's nomo didaskalo, and it means they were specialists in the intricacies of the law. They're the ones that wrote the Talmud. Now, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, that's important because remember we were talking about why didn't Jesus heal everybody? Well, because in every case, wherever Jesus was, the power of the Lord wasn't there to heal him, to heal. In this case, the power of the Lord was there to heal. Just because Jesus is there doesn't mean the Father wanted him to heal. So this is why that's specifically said there. Do you understand? What you're doing?
Does that mean he didn't have a choice, or he couldn't do it if he wanted to? That's kind of a big thing.
Of course, he could do anything he did want to, but he never did anything he wanted to. He was always waiting on the Father. Lord is Kyros.
Yeah, that's so, a given. I understand that.
Okay, so he didn't always, the Father didn't always want him to heal.
Yeah.
So it's only when the power of the Lord was present that he wanted him to heal.
So Jesus just basically responded to
that. To that
presence.
Let's go to John. Chapter 5. Verse 17. Well, he had healed a guy on the Sabbath, and they're all upset about it. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In other words, it didn't matter when it was. If the Father's interest was there, then he did it. And then it goes on to explain it. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but had said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but that which he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise." And so it's that oneness that was there that he only responded to what the Father wanted. He didn't ever do something because he wanted to. The same must be true in us. We only respond when the Father responds. Now, how can that happen? It can only happen in your complete and total emptiness, where you've discounted your own wishes, if you will. Is that clear now?
Yeah.
All right. Back. Anybody else about this?
What's that reference again?
John 5, 17 through 19. All right, back to Luke. Now, it says that they were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now, Galilee is obviously where he is. Now, Jerusalem, Judea was a district, and there were four separate regions that were always discussed independently in Judea. Remember, the only two really left that now were, the only thing that's here is now is Judea, of the land of Judah, which concluded the temple and other lands around it, and the land of Benjamin. The role of the tribe of Judah was to maintain the bloodline. The role of the tribe of Benjamin was the temple. And so that all the other 10 tribes had been dispersed many hundreds of years before this. But they still called, then those 10 tribes were called Israel. The two tribes were always called Judea or Judah, even though it included Benjamin and Judah. Is that important? Do you understand why? All right. But they mentioned here not just Judea, but they mentioned Jerusalem. Jerusalem was always a special, special district within Judea that was separate from the four regions.
And it's because it was a wealthy district, or the spiritual district, or the...
Because it was something. It was where the temple was and where the sacrifices were.
So there was some authority
right. It's like Washington, D.C., is in Virginia and or near right on that border of Maryland and Virginia and all that, but it's Washington, D.C. is a special place.
Right.
It's the capital.
Yeah, so if we were to say men from Washington came here to the block, that would mean something. Like the government was here.
Right.
Get your guns.
Yeah.
All right, and the power of the Lord powers the efficacy, dunamis. Except the power which rests in a thing by virtue of its nature. And the power of the Lord was present. No, notice present is in italics. It wasn't in the original text. To heal them. Now here, remember, we've been talking about up till now the word heal was therapeuta, or a physician attending a patient. But here the word is that normal word for heal. It's iomai, I-A-O-M-A-I. I can never pronounce it. And it means literally to make whole, to make complete. It means much more than just healing your boo-boo, but it also means that. But it means making you essentially perfect. So, the power of the Lord was there to heal him.
That's the whole evangelist dream right there. What do you have to do to get the anointing, is what they would call this, that allows healings to take place.
Yeah, and that's just goofy.
Because you see how the mind automatically goes there. Let's see, power, present, heal. How would we make that happen? That's got to be the logic trail.
Every time they want it to happen.
That's the point. How can I become the instrument?
Right. It's a big deal. Because they say, as we've talked about many times, that the reason they can heal is the anointing is there. Well, they create the false anointing by soul power. The lighting and the mood music and the monosyllabic singing creates this place where critical judgment is suspended. Even more so. It's already been suspended because they go to these things. But then it's more suspended because of all of the tricks.
This, to me, says that is all happening so that they will believe. And that maybe is a confusing aspect of this, because faith or belief is what allows things to take place often. And so these people who are taken in by that in the seminars, believe.
Crusades.
So they believe. So is that the belief? Maybe it's just the misuse of.
Well, the question is, again, if every healing that Jesus did was instantaneous. What they say is, well, he's got a little bit of a healing, but now, and that's why I wanted. I begged Benny Hinn to wait 6 months before he would air a healing to make sure it wasn't just the dynamics of the crowd or some placebo kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he said if he did that, he wouldn't have any healings to air. Well, that's the point, Benny. Now, I can talk about this because this is going to not be up for a while, but that's what this whole thing that we did with that group from Britain. They took a man off, the presenter is a hypnotist, and he was an illusion, what do you call him? It wasn't an illusionist, it was a...
I don't know.
Anyway, he did this kind of stuff professionally before he got this job as presenter on this documentary series. They do a whole bunch of different documentaries. So they took a man off the street in England and taught him to do the tricks. And then they brought him here and had a crusade, if you will, mini crusade at the Lakewood Theater. Just to show the people that anybody can do it. You can take a man off the street and teach him to do it.
Came to be illusionist, is that what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm. There's another word, but I can't remember what it is.
Quack.
No, he but anyway, that's gonna, I don't know if that'll ever air in America or not, but it was certainly interesting.
Yeah, so that's the fake, but the real is something completely different.
Well, the real,
and part of it is this being made whole, because just getting your skin worked up or whatever, so you'll get that again. But being made whole, your eyes are open, let's say. See.
What you're saying is kind of though what I asked the last time that we were talking about this. The whole purpose wasn't healing. Healing wasn't the be all end all. You know, and God wasn't using it as some kind of a opening act, something to attract people. You know.
No, the purpose, the healing's purpose was to fulfill prophecy.
Right, yeah. And so it's kind of like looking at the cover of a book and not reading the book to spend a lifetime talking about healing.
Well, somewhere I have, it's probably not here, it's in my other thing. I cleaned out my Bible, which is the biggest mistake I ever did. So now I can't ever find anything. Anyway, the point of how do you know it's the Holy Spirit and how do you know it's faith? Faith is not taking or getting something. Faith is being taken. Gary is sitting in that chair by faith. And the chair is holding him up. Otherwise, he'd fall down and get a boo-boo and he'd have to go see a televangelist. Faith only is only faith when it produces almost it's a reflex action. Faith is only faith when it's automatic. If it's something that you have to work up, then it's sorcery. If it takes the crowd of people in order to have the so-called anointing, then it's neither the anointing nor faith, because it can be anybody with any training at all in it could duplicate it without God. The taker is taken. The grabber is grabbed. That's what faith is. This is true on all levels. It has nothing to do with the secular world or spiritual world, because all is spiritual. There are so many examples where you live by faith that it's only in the areas that pertain to abandonment that you don't live by faith. Gary is now living by faith that the right enzymes will be released in his body to digest the food and bring the food value to his blood cells, that it might be spread throughout all his body. He is living by faith that his heart will continue to beat at a certain rate, which to continue his life. He is living by faith that all of the endocrine system of his is making the whole system work. You know, the ideas that we're living by faith are endless, but we have the illusion of control because of the fall. And there's only probably a small percent, very small percent, where we even have the illusion of control. But we want that illusion. So that's why I've said so often, before the fall, there wasn't a conscious and subconscious mind, because there was no consciousness of self, therefore there was no conscious mind. If it was all one, the fall happened, so now we have a consciousness of self, and that creates what we call our conscious mind. It's self-awareness. And to man, that's the greatest thing, but to God, it's the worst possible thing. And that's why, except you become as that little child and be converted, you can no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And so the things that you believe or struggle with regard to abandonment of self, are just goofy, because your whole life is based on faith in the first place. And all you're doing is ignoring that extremely small percentage of which you have the illusion of control and the illusion of free will. And it's just goofy. That's why we must be transfigured by the renewing of our mind, so that there's constant abandonment of self. What? No, you.
Me?
Yeah.
I keep hearing the separation. You know, man separates faith out from himself and makes it an entity or a concept or a thing that he has to now.
You go ahead and get lessons on how to have faith, which is just ridiculous.
Which is everything you just said, is faith is natural, normal in
99% of your body.
Yeah. So it's not something weird. It's the most natural thing there is.
Except because of the fall, the mind is now the only enemy of God.
Yeah, and like I say, even the sub and the conscious are separated, which gives now, that's death.
How did we get on all this?
Well, in part we got on it because of miracles and healings appear to be, you know, like the banner over something. They're the thing that attracts you to come to something. And I've been thinking about this for a while. And I just realized that they're the credentials. They're the driver's license, you know, that you have to show when you get pulled over a traffic stop. They're the credentials. They were never intended to attract anybody. They were simply the proof that God was there.
They were the proof that he was the Messiah.
Yeah. And that's a different way of looking at things, because otherwise you look at things like Simon the Sorcerer, you know, did, you know, these other things that we've talked about. It becomes the big thing itself is the healing and not, you know, the thing that it was supposed to point to.
Amen. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will never put your eyes on yourself. This Holy Spirit is always true. The Holy Spirit will never violate the Word. The Holy Spirit will never violate your illusion of a will. The only time that happens is when in the Scriptures, that's what the so-called slaying in the Spirit is. You're slain in the Spirit, but you're not really. The only reason the people in the Bible were slain by the Spirit was because they were so overcome with the power and majesty of God, they had to fall down. And they fell down as dead. They fell down because Benny Hinn touched their forehead or blew on them. I mean, do you realize that it's not 20% of the population on an average are somnambulists. And somnambulists it's a condition that means that you're very, very easily hypnotized to the deepest, deepest state. And all professional hypnotists know this. You can be hypnotized to be I know there's two of you in here but that are somnambulists, but you could be hypnotized to be convinced that on a certain signal you would believe that you'd have positive and negative hallucinations, either one. You could be convinced that President Kennedy just walked through that door and you had a conversation with him. And in your mind and in any kind of lie detector, you would be convinced where that happened. On the other side of it, you could be told that Joysanna was not here. And no matter how much she talked and how much she waved her hands, you would not recognize that Joysanna was here. Now that 20% of the population are what the televangelists use to perform these gimmicks, these tricks. Again, there are hypnosis shouldn't even be a word. There are hypnosis has six levels. And each of those levels is what should be the word, or the name of it. The first level is you suspend critical judgment. And that happens by repetition. So these people watch Benny Hinn or whoever on television, see him do it over and over, or watch others do it. So they, when they go to the crusade, they expect that to happen. So that's the first level. And then it goes all the way down to the last one, the most difficult one, the deepest form of hypnosis, is where you can have negative hallucinations. The next one is up, is positive hallucinations. And that goes on and up. And we've all seen the tricks where you at the sound of every time you take a salt shaker, if you put it in your hand, if you've got to wake Gary up and say you've got a terrible, terrible itch on your left foot. And when he wakes up, he'd have a terrible, terrible itch on his left foot. And I would have told him that the only way you can cure that itch is to take your shoes off and put salt on it. And he would do that. But then he would be convinced and he would lie to his teeth, because he would tell you that the reason he's doing that is that was what his mother or grandmother taught him to do. I mean, it's on and on and on.
Strange that exists, and that there is such a thing as hypnotism.
Well, in order for the mind to have been created as it is when there was this separation and consciousness of self, that's just the fruit of it. I was a really, really good hypnotist. And I haven't hypnotized, and everybody, because you can do all kinds of things. You can cure headaches and all that. But I haven't, as far as I remember, a lot of people have asked me to hypnotize them, but I haven't since the day I became a believer. But anyway, that's how we got on all this, because of the idea of healing.
Yeah, that's appropriate. Because that's an amazing realm, and it's fundamental, because belief is involved.
Well, it's not really, no, it's the opposite of belief. It's suspending critical judgment.
If you don't know what the fake is versus the real, then you just are walking in the fog. You get an inspiration or a feeling, and you say, oh, there's some belief.
Yeah, well, it's just, that's why we are to test the faith, right. Prove the faith, prove that you're in the faith. Yeah, all these other are just tricks.
I think that what you were just talking about, though, goes like to the Hanukkah thing. I mean, they're trying to use the Hanukkah lamp for some purpose, and it doesn't have a purpose. It can't be used for a purpose.
Yeah, a stadium filled with people seeking for themselves, that's pretty bizarre.
It's just no stranger than a football game. The reason people spend $1,000 to buy a Super Bowl ticket is because they are starving to death, and that's their food. That's their sustenance. That'll give them a... I mean, it's just eating dust, eating dirt. That's what the snake, that's what your mind needs. And he needs to eat dirt. And it never satisfies. It never lasts. But I praise God that I had all that experience before I was a believer, so I could see. I mean, these guys are just, they're nuts. And yet their crowds are falling. Well, God didn't care about crowds. It's not in his, if he cared about crowds, that would be, he'd just snap his fingers. God cares about true discipleship.
I tried to hypnotize Pete over on Wentwood about 20 years ago.
I don't remember. If I did, I'd stopped in the middle because I realized I shouldn't be doing it.
Just okay. I remember that because I figure I'm one of the two you mentioned, because it was taken on me and I was across the way.
You were being hypnotized as it was happening, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't want to get into that. I just want 99% of what our mind does are all the things that were forbidden when you entered the land. Maybe 100% of what your mind does. And we went through all those. They're listed in... Let's go to Deuteronomy. I think 13, but I don't know for sure. No. Yeah, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh a son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, I promise you that I can show you where every human being does all those. The only thing that that prevents that is abandonment of self.
And every one of these is opposed to faith,
Right. It's getting instead of...
Yeah, it's working something to achieve it rather than believing that God is.
Does anybody remember a girl that came just briefly in 2003 or 4? Her name was Carrie Radcliffe.
She came here.
And she was baptized. Anyway, she's been corresponding with me about what her present state is. And because she's been listening to the podcast, and she's gotten all the negative about it, but none of the positive. So, you know, she's every place she looks in terms of when she tries to do something spiritual, she gets sick to her stomach. She gets nauseous. And I told her that's great, because that's what happened to me. Every time I went anywhere and they tried to tell me how to get something from God, even faith or healing or anything, I would get sick to my stomach. And that's the discerning. That's pretty violent discernment, but it really was. So she was just blown away, because she too got...
Are they coming for the trip? Did we do it again?
Don't pass us by.
Anyway.
I tried to look it up yesterday.
I could get the car and track them down.
Oh.
Reroute.
Anyway, it's important that you not be deceived. And that's, you know, I'm really hard on you. But I am, because I don't want you to be deceived. And you get deceived mainly by your mind.
Yeah, what else?
Okay? All righty. What? Take it, big guy.